Kuf Yud Beis. So we got to the last three lines of Kuf Yud Alf and Beis. We're talking about using a sack and the various unique halachas of using a knife. So the Gemara says, Amar Chizkiya Mishim Abaye, Hilchas at bottom line, how do we paskin? Dogim Shalu Bekara, Mutil Ochlem Bekutach. If you put fish, a hot fish that's in a plate that was used with fleishiks, so now this fish in theory is fleishik type of fish, you're allowed to eat it, Bekutach, that's permitted, that's why paskin. But Snon, Shechatchu Besakin, Shechatch Babasar, a knife, a fleishik knife that was used to cut radish or something else sharp, that would be Aser L'Ochlem Bekutach. That radish may not be eaten with something milchix. So the difference is between whether it ends up being fleishik equipment, the fish fleishik equipment that seems to be permitted with milchix, and when it comes to a knife and sharp duch de sakina, so then we say that it will be fleishik, and you may not eat the radish with the milchix. The Gemara explains, "Hani mili tznon." This is only true of a radish, something sharp. The agav churfa bali, the unique quality of something sharp, it's able to remove the tam that's there. But when it comes to avakishus, when it comes to something like cucumbers, garir libe paskava achil, you just have to remove the area that's been cut, and that's it. Just look at Rashi to explain. The top Rashi says, "Kishus mitsukahi." It says mituka, it's sweet. Veino nivla besocha, any of the fat that's on the knife doesn't get absorbed in the cucumbers or anything else that's sweet or not spicy. Ela shamnunis tsaf v'omin al makam achatach. The fat from the knife, it only stays on the surface. And hilkach garir libe paske. L'makam chatach gorim ma'at besakin. You have to just scrape off, grira, scraping off a little bit, v'achal af bekutach, and you're allowed to eat the rest of it. There are different dinim of how far you have to cut things in general. There's grayer, which is scraping. Kedei klipa is the whole outer surface. There's kedei netila, which is more of removing. There are different levels. So this is grayer. All you have to do is scrape off the surface of the cucumber and scrape off the fleishik. The rest is permitted. Hilkach Rashi says further, dogim she'olu bekara mutil achim bekutach, that if you have fish that's in a fleishik pot, you're allowed to eat it with dairy. Kedamar de'ei nosin tam habam ne'mamish ela nosin tam habam ne'nosin tam. We're talking about a plate that's clean, and the clean plate cannot remove any of the tam, doesn't come out of the plate to go into the fish, and therefore it's allowed. The stam kara mekanchenos, so most of the plates are clean. Mishuman hakara shalel, any fat that may have been used, it's clean. You don't assume that's a dirty plate of fleishik fat that you're using for fish. Mishumius, no one wants to have a dirty plate, so we always assume the plates are clean, and therefore none of the food, none of the tam of basa is going in the fish. Oftentimes the knife has some fat and residue that remains there, and people don't recognize it. It's stuck between the different, the jagged edges there, the serrated edges. When you cut the radish, there's real be'en there, there's real fat that's going in there. That's first shot in Rashi. Rashi assuming the knife is only going to create a problem if it's dirty. But Rashi implies if it's not dirty, if it's clean, then it won't create a problem even by radish. But this is how we paskin. Rashi says, "V'od the mishim churfa balot fei midogm haroschim v'agavduch the sakina palit sakina ubalot snom." This ode is telling us even if the knife were to be clean, there's only tam, there's only taste. The combination of the duchka, the sharpness, the pressure of the knife, and the churfa, the sharpness of the radish, that's able to extract even tam that's embedded within the radish. That's what comes out from all this. So look at Tosos here. Dimasu agav churfa bala. Yesh lezahir shelo lachtach shomen v'krushin b'tzelim, onions, garlic, and other things that are sharp. Besakin chalavis, a milchik knife. Mishum decharifa tuva, because it's very sharp. V'hecha dechatach, the person, let's say, were to cut an onion with a milchik knife. Now the onion is milch. V'nats nitnan b'kedeir, it's placed into a pot of chuln. Let's say, milea mayim roseches, boiling water. Mutter b'shishim levatel tam habalua b'yerek, you're allowed to v'shishim of the water, it's mevatel any of the onion flavor that may have been there. V'niflat minasakin. If you're using a non-kosher knife where there's real nevela here and it's davar aser, then nasa yerek kula nevela, the entire vegetable now becomes aser nevela. It's chanan. Not only do you need 60 connected to the tam that was in the knife, you need 60 connected to the entire yerek now, because by a davar heter, right, you have a milchik knife that went into the onions. So the whole onion doesn't become milchik, only the tam that was in the, only the tam of milk that went into the onion, that amount, not the entire onion. So all you need is shishim keneged the tam. But we're talking about a davar iser. When it comes to a knife that was nevela, so now the entire onion becomes aser, not only the tam, and you need 60 amounts keneged the entire onion that has the nevela in it.
What's really the shot over there?
It's chanan, because now chaticha nas is nevela.
Why is this thing by the milchit?
The no, just saying. Be careful. You have to make sure the shishim keneged the milchik. Oh, okay. That's all. Yeah.
I would say tam is tam if it goes in.
No, because that's the din of chanan. The chanan is one time becomes aser, the entire thing becomes aser. That's the din. The gemara tells us.
And this is not just a regular milchik knife or a milchik knife that has some.
No, this is this seems to be talking about a situation that tam, even without mamashas, tam alone. Stam knife, even if it's clean.
Clean.
Right. So look at this next line of toast. If it's sarach ian, imasakin makunach, if it's clean, ve'eno ben yom, it's not ben yom, it hasn't been used in 24 hours, ichurfa didu, machle l'shrach, is the sharpness able to bring it back to life. And we assume that sharp items are able to, even that which is eno ben yom, which normally is no sin tam lifgam, and can affect something in a positive way. So if it's a churfa, if it's a sharpness, it actually can bring the tam to a fresh taste, and that will create a lot of different concerns. The whole idea of sakin and churfa is one of the most complicated halachas in regard, not one of the most, but it's a tricky halacha when it comes to a pasuking shilas.
Because physically, the sharper the knife is, the less it
pressure.
Yeah.
Right.
But so there's more pressure.
But it's not about more or less. It's more pressure regardless. A knife has more pressure than anything else, more than a spoon, more than a fork. Even though within knives there are different types of pressures, it certainly has more pressure than using a fork. And the way it presses it in, but whatever it is. So then the Gemara says, two lines down, Kilcha deliftai share. So what is it? Kilcha, turnips. Right, the roots of the turnips are shari, that's permitted, that's not considered churfa, it's not sharp, but the silka, series, these are what, beets, the silka?
Beets.
Yeah. Yeah. So when beets are considered sharp, and that would be another example. V'patech ba delifta shaper damim. So if you do what to it, Rashi explains, v'patech ba delifta, Irvan be'es chituchan shechatech acha shalefes v'acha shatardin. You're cutting radish, you're cutting beets, and you're cutting turnips. Halefes mevatel tam hashamnunis min asakin ve'ein atardin mekablan tam himanu. So if you first, let's say, cut turnips, which sweetens any flavor that's there, and then afterwards you cut the beets, that will not aser the beets because they already had been softened, they've already been sweetened by cutting with the turnips first. Okay, fine. The Gemara now says four lines down. By Munei Rav Dimi May Rav Nachman. Maul Anuche Kada de Milcha, Gave Kada de Kimcha. If you place these different pots next to each other, what's this referring to? So Rashi explains here, Kada de Milcha we know is a pitcher of some sort, a pot of salt, and Kada de Kimcha, Rashi says, is Kimcha's Kutach, this dairy pot. So are we concerned that if the two pots are next to each other, some of the milk is going to go into the salt now. And now I'm going to use the salt from some of my meat. Now I've got the bas bechal problems. So is there a chashash of two pots next to each other mixing the different items? So the Gemara says, Amr le, asr, it's not permitted. You're not allowed to do this. Because there's a chashash that the milk is going to go in the salt and you're going to use the salt for the meat. So then the Gemara says, Dechalamai, what if you have vinegar next to a pot of kutach? Is that a concern? Amar le shari, oh, that's permitted. There, for some reason, when it comes to salt, we're concerned the milk's going to the salt, and that's going to be used for the meat. But we're not concerned the milk's going to go in the vinegar, and the vinegar will go into the meat. Asks the Gemara, Maishna, what's the difference? So he says, L'chitecha l'kur d'malcha. When you go give me a thing, amount of salt, serve me, measure me out an amount of salt, I'll pay you back. Yeah, I'll reward you for doing a service for me. I'll reward you, give you the reason what the difference is between vinegar and salt. So he does that, fine. So my taima, hai isur be'ein, v'hai lesa isur be'ein. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, hai kutach, it's halfway down the narrow lines. Hai kutach hanofa b'melach, if a piece of this dairy food falls into the salt, near of a nicker mipneshu av v'labatum. You could see the kutach, it's thick, it's recognizable. About kutach hanofa b'chomets, if it falls into vinegar, lesa b'ein, the kutach somehow disintegrates, you can't recognize it, lesa b'ein, v'tama nami lo yov, and there's no time it gives either. The vinegar is so strong, the kutach completely disappears, and kutach b'chomets. So therefore, when kutach falls into salt, the kutach is still there. So there's a chashash, you're going to use the salt with kutach, with the meat. But when kudach falls into vinegar, the kudach completely disintegrates, and there's no chashash, and you're allowed to go ahead and use the vinegar with the meat. Okay, Gemara now says, I should point out, when it comes to the sakina, there's a big machlokas when it comes to something sharp, how far it goes in, how much time does the flesh should go into the food. So machlok is whether it goes the kulo, whether it goes entirely into the onion, whether it goes only kadei natila or only kadei klipa, different levels. And the way it comes down in halacha, Shulchan Aruch paskins that only a radish that's cut with the fleshic knife, only kadei natila, only some outer layer of it. But we pass like the Rambam that the entire onion becomes kulo asr. That's the machloka. So the Shulchan the Sfarim are very meko, but the Ashkenazim are very machmir. Okay, the Gemara now says, the whole thing becomes fleshic, exactly. So the Gemara now says that Hahu Gabar Gozla Denafu Lakada de Kimcha. So a chicken, a type of bird, fell into a pot of kimcha, a pot of milk. And Sharia, they permitted Sharia Rav Chanina Bered Rava Mipshurna. He permitted one to eat it, even though Rashi points out, even though it's the kutach is meliachu, it's salted. Still, he wasn't concerned meliach krosayach. A chicken fell in, you remove the chicken, and everything remains fine.
Live chicken.
It doesn't make a difference, I don't think. So the Gemara is going to explain now whether it's raw or not. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rava, man chachem lemishrei ki agavna. So who is the one who's permitted such a case? Ilav Rav Chinina b'rei d'Rava b'sharnia. Who could be such a great person to permit such a situation? A piece of chicken falls in a thing of milk. How could he permit it? Because Kasavar, he holds, ki Amar Shmuel meliach ariyah kurseach, that he holds that the salting has the ability to boil something, has the ability of cooking. So if a chicken fell into a salted kutach, shouldn't you say it's everything's asr now because you have bas b'chal mixed together? Gemara says, Hani mili hecha de'enu necha machmas melchum. It's only true when it's so salted where you're not able to eat it because of it's so salty. Of a high kutcha, this mixture of dairy, even though there's salt in it, harei necha machmas melchum, it is edible, it's not that salty. How does one define what's considered a nechal, eno nechal machmas milcho? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi gives one definition. Rashi says, eno nechal machmas milcho, eno noach leachal. It's not a pleasure, it's not tasty to eat. Merov melach shabo, ad sheshorin madichin osa b'mayim, kem melichas basa latzniya. It's too salty. It's not like crazy amount of salt, but it's a little bit too salty. It's not for your liking. That's the definition for Rashi, which is not that much salt. Tosos says, the Baam Tosos here, you don't have to read it, but the second to Baam Tosos, he says, no, it's the comparable to the salting you need for Ibud. When it comes to the halachas of Shabbos, one of the halachas is Ibud is treating the leather. They put a lot of salt on the leather and the skin to treat it. And that was a lot of salt that was used. So Tosos says, has to be a ton of salt in order for it to be Eino Machmas Milcho. But anything less than that, that's still considered edible, and that would not be Roseach. So Rashi is a much more Machmir opinion. Even if it's slightly too salty, just a little bit too salty, that's already considered Eino Machmas, rather Rashi more Meiko, it's already considered Eino Necha Machmas Milcho, in which case it's more Machmir. There's a lesser standard. Once the salty is too much for my liking, that's already considered meliach harei kuraseach, and that's going to create the problems of basar b'chalaf. So either way, so it comes out from all this, the reason why when the chicken fell into the kudach, it was permitted because it wasn't that salty, and therefore it did not have the ability to be meliach harei kuraseach. So then the Gemara says, a further qualification is hani mili chai. This is all also only true if the animal was raw. Chai is it was raw. It was shechted, but it was raw. About tzli, if it was roasted by a klipa, then because it's been roasted, the skin's been softened, so there's going to be some milk of the kutak that's going to get into the chicken. Then you have to remove a kadei klipa, the outer shell of the chicken, and then everything else is going to be fine. Further, the Gemara says another qualification. V is be pili, if it has pili, which Rashi explains, is different cracks in it, and it's also roasted as well, so then it's also going to be, the entire thing, kula is going to be usr. Because once there are cracks and little crevices in the chicken, the milk's going to penetrate, and there's no way ever of extracting that, and that would be usr entirely. And further, the Gemara says, V'i mitaba batavlin kuli usr. If it's been salted or spiced, so then, that also softens the chicken, and then, even if it wasn't cut, it's also going to be usr, because it's going to make the milk easily transfer into the chicken. Okay, Gemara now says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Kikash HaChatach HaLeh Basar, Asr lachlo. So let's say I'm cutting meat on top of bread. So I don't know, whatever the situation is, I've got, you're using the meat, you place mamash on top of the bread, and you're cutting meat, and all the gravy is dripping down, and the blood is dripping down into the bread. So what's the din of the bread? So Gemara says, Asr lachlo, you're not allowed to eat that piece of bread, because all the dam, all the blood of the meat is falling into the bread, and now there's blood all over my bread. And the Gemara says, honey, meat, this is only true, the asmik, only if the blood that comes out is red, has to be red, number one. Because there's always liquid coming out of the meat. So that liquid could be water or whatever comes out from the meat juices, but not necessarily blood. So only if it's red is that going to asr the kikar. And further, the Gemara says, Hani mile de evareh. Evareh, what does evareh mean? Rashi says that the blood passes through from one side to the other side, goes through the whole bread, but it only stays on top and doesn't leak through the bottom of the bread. That indicates it's not really blood either. It has to pass through the whole way. And Hani mile de asmeche, which Rashi says has to be very thick. But once it's very watery, that indicates it's not blood anymore. So three requirements for this blood to be considered blood. Has to be red, has to be passing through the entire bread, has to be thick as well, and then the kikar would be usr. About klishas, if it's very liquid, very loose, very watery, less than blood, there is no concern. That's not considered blood anymore.
There's only a reference to that, but reference to the station, so we don't
know the station. Yeah, sure. So then the Gemara says, Shmuel shadi le lekalva. Shmuel would take this bread and throw it to his dogs. He wouldn't eat such bread. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna yav le l'shama. He would give it to his assistant, to his from assistant. So Manav Shech, the Gemara says, wait a second. Ishari l'chol yamishari. If you're allowed to have such bread with the blood dripping into it, so why only to his assistant? He should give it to anyone. I aser, if it's aser l'chol yamaser, would aser to everyone to eat. So why would he give it to his assistant then? So Gemara says, Shaini Rav Huna danina daita. It was permitted, but he just didn't like it. He didn't like blood-flavored bread, and therefore he gave it to his assistant. But in a chanami, he assumed this bread would be permitted. Gemara says further that Rava achilei v'karle chamer basar. Rava would eat this type of bread, and he would call it wine meat, the wine from the meat, and that's not actual blood. It just looks like blood. It's the wine that comes from the meat. So Gemara now says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Ein manichin kli tachas basar. One should not place a kli. Remember we spoke about yesterday, that beidugi, that caught all the fat, and there was some delicacy to have the fat from the meat. So a person put the kli below it until what? Had sheyichla kol mara adam mumis shebo, until all the redness of the meat has been removed. So once the red stopped dripping, then you could put the kli. But while there's still red, the juice is coming out, you shouldn't put the kli below to catch all the fat. So Gemara asks a very practical question. How does one know when the blood stops dripping from the meat that you're allowed to now start catching all the fat? So Marzucha Mishmeidira Papa Amar Mishitala Timrasa, when smoke starts coming up. So Rashi explains around seven lines up from the bottom here, Mishitala Timrasa, Shebasar Mala Ashan, when the meat starts smoking. That Lishnachrina Shehua Gichal Mala Ashan, or when the coal stops smoking. Either the meat or the start smoking. Either the meat or the coals create smoke. Shekol's man shadam shoseis alen. So long as blood is dripping, ena ela kabin v'holchin, it keeps extinguishing any smoke, any fire from coming out. Aval kisha shuma notiv, when it has oil dripping and fat, hey malan ashen, that creates fires and sparks and smoke. That's, you know, when a person cooks, when it gets the fatty meats full on, it creates big flames coming up. So that's how you know. That's the indication when the blood stopped, and now it's no longer blood; it's fat that begins to drip out. So Gemara says, wait a second, this is not really the greatest test, because Maskula Rav Ashi, Dilma Tato Mata, Ila Lamata. Maybe the bottom of the coals has dried up a little bit, and that's creating the sparks, but maybe the top is still having blood drip on it, it could be that the coals are partially not receiving the blood, but the top is still receiving blood, and it's not really a good indication that fire and smoke is starting to spark up, that the blood has stopped coming down. So the Gemara says, you're right. El Amar Ravashi less like Takanta. There is no Takanta. There's no way to know. There's no test, a good test to know whether or not the blood stopped and the fat has begun dripping out. So what should one do? El Mishade Beitarte Galali Malcha. A person should place two amounts of salt. Why two amounts of salt? Look at Rashi before you turn the page. Galale de Malcha. Bein alabasar, bein besoch kli. Place one cube of salt, let's say, on the meat. One cube of salt in the kli. Vadam nigar etah melcha le shulaim. It's going to track the blood. So blood's going to always come out. We don't know when it will stop. But as long as the salt is like serving as a magnet on the meat. And salt in the pot, anytime blood drips out, it's going to be attracted towards the salt, and it'll this way make sure not to get mixed together with the fat when the fat drips out. And the Gemara says, going on to Amud Beis now, and then after that, Umishpaye, which means what? Rashi says, Mishpaye is Kamo Gemara Bamatsia, Hashofa Yan the Chaver, where you pour it, means cola, cooler maybe, I don't know. Kolomer Yare Hashuman He'elyon Benachas Mikliya Kli. We know the fat always goes to the top. So the fat that's on the top of this Beidugi that's catching it, you're supposed to pour it to another Kli. Kadeshla Yisariya Hadambo. So the blood goes to the bottom. There's going to be blood in this Beidugi. There's no question about it. But you have salt here, which is attracting the blood towards the salt. So now the bottom of the pot has this Kli, has blood mixed together with oil and fat. But the top is fine. So make sure just to shave off the top fat and pour it to the Kli, just a little bit, so you have all the fat. And once you get closer to the bottom, don't take the bottom of the Shuman, because there's going to be some blood mixed together with it. And that's how you have your Beidugi, your fat, that fat.
Shuman floats.
Yeah, exactly. But you also have the salt. Yeah, but not every liquid goes to the bottom. Some liquids do mix with the Shuman mixed together.
But the fact yeah. That the salt absorbs
exactly.
Blood,
so that brings it down. But even the bottom part, there's going to be chashash of some blood there.
Right,
so you just stop. Right. So then the Gemara says,
Amar
le Rav Acha Brei de Rav Ika le Rav Ashi. Who mi Amar Shmuel Hach, the Shmuel really say this, you're allowed to use this approach of whenever there's no longer blood, you're allowed to use the Beidugi to catch the fat. V'hamar Shmuel, doesn't Shmuel say, Kika shechatecha le basar, asar lachla. He says, across the board, categorically, whenever you cut meat, over the bread, you always have to, you can never eat the bread. So don't we see from here that there's no way of ever ending the blood from dripping out of the meat? And the Gemara says, no, there is a time. Shmuel agrees in general that if you there's no longer red dripping out, you're allowed to have any liquid. Shiny hasam da'agav duch got the sakina polyp. But here, since I'm cutting the meat, so that's adding further pressure, and that's going to cause blood to come out again. But so long as blood hasn't been removed from it, so there's always going to be blood, not always, but there's some blood that's embedded inside the meat. If the blood has never been porish, that's not called blood anymore. So in a regular case, as long as I cooked it and all the red dripped out, I can eat the meat however I want. But the moment I start cutting it and that blood's dripping onto the bread, that now adds further pressure and now it extracts more blood that's embedded in the walls of the meat. That's his din.
All these cases, if you didn't salt it, right? If you salted it before, it would be okay, or not?
I would imagine if once you salt it, because all our cases, we always have cutting it. We don't ask for the plate because of...
Yeah.
No, okay, an article. Yeah. Okay. So then the Gemara says... Amar Rav Nachman Dagim v'ofo shemalchin zemzeh. Let's say you want to salt fish and birds together, chicken. When you go to a schlachthaus, they have a ton of chicken or a ton of meat, they salt them all together. Either there's a thing of chicken or a thing of meat. But let's say you want to salt fish with chicken. So the Gemara says that is actually asur, and that's asur to do. Why is it asur to do? What's wrong with that? So the Gemara says, hey chidami. If it's in a kli, some type of vessel where there are no holes, so when you salt it, the blood's going to be extracted, but it's going to remain in the kli because there are no holes. And then afilu ovos ovos nami asir. Even two chickens are going to ask each other because it's staying, it's soaking in the blood. The blood is removed, but the blood's not going anywhere, so it's staying in the chicken. It's going to go back in and asir the chicken. So even ovos ovos are asir. If it's a hole, if it's rather a kli that has holes in it, I feel dogum ofus nami shari. So then it should be permitted because when you salt the fish, you salt the chicken, the blood's going to go right outside to the bottom and filter, and it's not going to be concerned either. And the Gemara says, liolam the kli manuka. Really, we're talking about a case where it's a vessel that has holes in it. So what's the problem? The dogum mishum derafi kermayu, kadme bepalte. Since fish have a very soft skin, so it's going to, the blood's going to be extracted much sooner than the chicken is. And ofos kemaiti, and the ofos are a little bit more tighter and sealed, and it's not quick to extract the blood. So basa denaihi dogim, so we know, we've already learned, that any item, it only goes one direction. It either extracts or it absorbs. Either it's polite or it's bolea. It can't be at the same time. So what's happening is the fish is going to be polite after 5 minutes, and it stops. But the chicken's going to keep going for another 20 minutes being polite. So after 5 minutes, so when the fish is done being polite, it's going to start being bolea, the don that's being polite from the chicken. So the Gemara again says, Dogim, mishum derafi karmayu kadme vipalti. Since the fish skin is very soft, it's going to kadme, it's going to palti, stop extracting beforehand. Then the ofos are kamaiti. Since it's a harder skin, the chicken is going to be busted in aichi dogum after the dogum already stopped from being palti. They no longer were extracting the blood. It's already finished its job. The ofos, vahadar palti ofos, the ofos are going to continue for another 15 minutes, let's say, being palti blood, vahadar bali minai. And then the fish, which is now resting, is going to now absorb the blood from the chicken, and now the fish are going to be usur. And so for this reason, the halacha is that one should not salt fish and chicken together. Gemara now says, last four lines of the page here. Rav Meri bar Rachel, Imlach labasa shchuta by the basar trefa. He would actually salt together shechted meat and some meat. There's always going to be, not always, often they're going to be trefa animals, but he's going to sell them anyways. He's allowed to sell trefa animals to a non-Jew. So the practice was just to shecht everything together, or rather salt everything together. And he knew which one was trefa, he knew which one was shchuta, and that was permitted. So Gemara said, how is that permitted? Also, the Kamei de Rava Amar Lei Hatimeim, says the Pasuk. There's an extra, hey, Rashi points out, Hatimeim includes, not only is the item itself Aser, the Trefa itself is Aser, but Ha, the Hey, is Aser, Tzirin, Virotvan, Vikipachalem, which means it's Aser to even the sauce that was used. Tzirin is the juices, the meat juices is Aser, and the Rotvan, the sauce that was used to cook the Trefa in, and the Kipa is all the different herbs and the spices, all that's going to be Aser. So, granted, when it comes to salting, the blood will be fine, right? The salting of a basa shchuta and salting a basa trefa, since they're both the same type of meaning, they're both meat, so the timing of blood will be the same. Salting will be the same. So they're both going to be, let's say, pull it for 30 minutes, and then they're finished. And there's no time where one's still being pulled, one's not. So in terms of dam, everything's fine. But what about the other problems of the tzir and the rotav and the kippah that's going to be extracted from the trefa and going to the shchuta? That's going to be another problem. So the Gemara, so therefore, the Gemara says, hold on a second.
I'm sorry, the case is that they used to be Maliach, right? Used to get glue with holes, right?
They used to use, the Kli Menukav, yeah.
Right, and put Nebela together with but not touching each other, just in the same Kli.
Yeah. The same clay, so you salt them together, and it wasn't a concern because since they would have the same timing of salting, there's never a moment where one stopped being pulled and the other one is still being pulled. It's all the same timing. So they both stop at the same time, and all the blood is going to be fine. So the problem, so they responded back to this din, though. Rava didn't like this din because it says not only is fine, regarding the blood, everything's fine, but there's still a problem of the tzir. The meat juice that comes from the trefa, which is now going to go into the shchut animal, and that's going to be a problem. And therefore, he said this was incorrect to do. You shouldn't mix the trefa together with a shchuta because of the tzir. Not because of the dam. The dam is fine because of the tzir.
They won't absorb the blood after everything is extracted.
No, because it's kli menukav. There's a hole.
It's a kli menukav.
Yeah, so they're touching each other, or they're near each other. The blood coming out, they're both busy being pulled.
But then
it drips down. But the tzir does pass each other, and that will aser, and therefore it was aser. Let's just do the next four lines. It's very quick. Just the next daf, tomorrow's daf a little bit longer. Let's just get a catch a little ground here. So Gemara says, Lema, let's suggest, Lema la midishmuel, why not say above, where we said that tzir, the different meat juices from the trefa is asering the basa shchuta, let's say midishmuel. Dama shmuel, maliach harayu kurseach, bekavash harayu kumavushel. Forgetting the blood right now. Forget the issue of blood. But we all know they're salty. They're salting the meat. So doesn't salting have the ability to be roseach? So now I'm, in essence, I'm cooking basa trefa with basa shchuta. That's a problem. Forget the blood. They're just cooking together trefa with basa. That's the problem. Forget the whole drush of hatimeim, the tzir going into the trefa. It's an issue of a bishul here. So Gemara says, no, even the Shmuel, had I had that in a Shmuel that Meliach Hareo Kroseach, Havamina Hani Mile Daman, that's only regarding the blood, would it be Aser. Aval Tzir and Virot Fanlo, but the Tzir of the Trefa, Rashi says, is Zeya Ba'alma, it's not really meat, it's Zeya, it's sweat. There's no real din to it. I would thought maybe Shmuel would think that's actually allowed to salt together meats of Trefa, meats of Shchuta, because it's, again, Tzir is Zeya Ba'alma. Kamash Malan, that the tzir is not Zeb Alma, the tzir is mamish, the essence of the trefa, and it will be a problem of mixing it together because it's going to go from the trefa into the shchuta.